Well, hello, everybody. You're listening to the Woodworkers Podcast. I'm Ben Brunick. I got Phil Morley and Ramon Valdez with me. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Which name did you say first? Was it Philip or Ramon?
Philip.
So, I'm doing good, Ben. How are you doing?
Sorry. See, that's our rules. Whoever that's Ben our rules. Mentions first.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having you. Wait a minute. Thanks for having us on, Ben. We appreciate it.
So, what do you guys? What do we got? What do we got going on, Ramon? You've got this jewelry cabinet that I've seen.
The jewelry cabinet was
PVC pipes in it. Something going on?
Hey, what? That's not how you want to start a woodworkers podcast. It was a big jewelry cabinet I've been working on. Well, I installed it yesterday. The client she squealed like a little girl. It was awesome. She filled it today with all her necklaces. She has a big collection of necklaces. There was like 80 pegs for necklaces. And then the bracelets, I made these bracelet holders that this all shows on my Instagram page if you want to go check it out. But the
what is
bracelet
your Instagram
holders,
page, Ramon?
It's called Stop. So instead of using solid wood to make these round bars for the bracelets to go on, I didn't have large enough cherry to turn on my lathe. And I don't have a woodworking lathe. I have a metal lathe, and I really don't like cutting wood on metal lathe because of all the oil ports and all that jazz, right? So that's kind of another subject. So what I did is I took PVC and I used, I scuffed it really well. I used Gorilla Glue, made sure I got really good glue on the seam, stretched the seam tight with tape.
Nice.
And it came out fantastic. And I put a couple of caps, and those are now her bracelet holders. They worked really
cool.
Well.
Really cool. I love the one comment on that on your Instagram post at Ramon Artful, where someone said, "Look at Ramon acting like he doesn't know what a bracelet holder is."
Oh yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah, I
did. That was hilarious.
That
looked really cool. I have a question for you. So when you start gluing it on, did you wrap it and it overlaid and you came back and cut, or did you get that measurement? Like, how did you do that?
Well, it's interesting because PVC is not—it's not very round. It looks round, but it's close, and it's not the same. You know, if you use calipers, it's not very consistent.
Right.
So I was a little concerned, but what I did is I took a short strip of veneer and I cut that carefully till I got the length on the little scrap piece, and it worked everywhere, and it was just a tad long. I mean, just barely long, which was my allowance for the glue. And then I just thought, well, this is either going to work or it's not. I mean, and I scuffed it really well. I cut the joints on my sliding table saw, you know, basing the length off my little scrap piece. And then I put the glue on the veneer, which you're not supposed to, but it'd be kind of a pain to put it on the PVC tube. So I put it on the veneer with a roller, and then I wet the PVC with, you know, a damp rag, and I put it on there with some stretched tape and with Gorilla Glue. Yeah. And
nice.
Next morning scraped it. Well, I showed that on Instagram. I mean, I didn't do anything but turned the camera on and, you know, scraped it and sanded it, and they came out awesome and adhered pretty well.
Cool.
So yeah, something different.
Great.
And that was paperback veneer, wasn't it?
That was, yes, good point. That was cherry paperback veneer. I first rolled it the direction that it needed to be because I had it rolled the other way, and I let it sit like that for a couple of days so it kind of got accustomed to its new environment being rolled that way. And, it worked great. I mean,
is that like stuff from – is that like stuff from Oakwood Veneer, or where did you get that paperback stuff?
Yeah, I've had it. We don't have a Hobby Lobby. No, actually we do, but no, it's just probably from maybe one of our suppliers, and they, you know, we're from wherever from they get. I don't know. I've got a lot of scrap paperback veneer. I don't really use it much anymore. We used it a lot at the cabinet shop that I worked at. But for the most part, you know, all the stuff that I use is raw veneer. But for something like this, you wouldn't want to use raw veneer. It would just be too hard to work. That paperback is like a 10 mil, and it really holds together. And you could sand on it for hours. The veneer's super thick. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, really? Oh, no. I was about to say, what?
No, it's paper thin. The good thing is it's already sanded. All I had to do was clean up the joint. And bam, it was done. So
that's pretty awesome.
Oh, there was a lot. For a bracelet holder.
There weren't any seams in that, were there? What you ended up gluing on. I mean, we got the seam.
You mean the factory seam?
Yeah, I mean, you've got were there factory seams on that?
Yes.
Like, were there?
Yeah. There. Yeah. And you could see those, but you couldn't see mine. I'm kidding. They all blended really well.
Yeah, it looked great. It looked like cool solution.
How big was that? I mean, there's so many freaking cool details you put in. And what's cool about it is you look and it's like, yeah, I know who built that. You know, it's like it's like your signature stuff all in one. It's really cool.
Well, like the texture was kind of interesting because I was telling my wife about it before I started it, and she wrinkled her nose and she says, that's going to be really busy and crazy looking. I'm like, you don't understand. When you see it from across the room, you're not even going to know what it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
If you get, you know, within a couple of feet, then yeah, it's busy. Believe me, I know how busy it is. I stared at 44,800 dimples.
Jeez. Wow.
And if I would have known how many dimples there were, I probably would have started.
That's a dollar a dimple, right?
And, you know, I told her, I'm just going to try it. I mean, worst thing, you know, I'll have to make another door or something. But
But you didn't do the whole, that's what I like about it. You didn't do the whole door.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be a kind of a reference to what was inside so that whoever breaks in will know exactly where all the jewelry is because of the diamond on the doors.
There you go. I'm
kidding. But I just wanted that reference with the diamond. She had seen somewhere one of my pieces where I had done texture before, and she wanted some texture on there. And she was an awesome client, one of those that she says, you do it. Whatever you come up with, I would like maybe some metal incorporated in there somewhere. And so that's when I decided to use the copper. And initially I was going to dimple the copper so it would look like hammered copper. Right. And then I thought, now that's way too much. I'm trying too hard. Yeah. And so then I kind of reversed it and just made the copper with this brushed look. I just bought some quarter inch copper plate and made those standoffs.
Did you tap the back of it with the standoff?
I did.
I did.
Nice. And so I had to get what's called a flat bottom tap.
Yeah. Because
it's, you know, it's only catching by like four or five threads.
Right.
With a 1032 all thread, I used some, what do you call that? Glue, metal glue, Loctite.
Loctite.
And put the little standoffs on the back. And that was really tricky because getting those all the exact height and drilling the holes in the exact place so all those reveals would end up, you know, being, I mean, you could use.
Yeah, no kidding.
You could have used, you know, like a feeler gauge on those. They were exact, and they'll probably move after she uses it for a little bit, and so I'll go back in a month and adjust the doors.
Right.
And when I go back in a month or so, I'll show her her secret compartment because she doesn't know about that.
The bottom drawer there, the bottom.
Yeah, the little thing. Lid at the bottom that lifts up.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and then a highlight for me was getting a hold of Jenny Bauer, and she made the copper. I don't know if you guys saw that. I posted about that today.
Yeah.
She made the little emblem that I usually put on my stuff. It's usually a wooden one when I do it, but oh my gosh, I could not believe how precise her engraving is. It looks like it was a machine.
Right.
But you can. So some of the letters or all the letters and, you know, like the little leaves, they get deeper and wider as she makes her cut. I mean, just finesse and experience. It was really cool to see up close.
And the envelope that it came
in. I know, and the envelope, I knew exactly who it was from when I saw that.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Ramon with her left hand and Valdez with her right hand at the same time.
Yeah.
She's pretty talented.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Well, what a fun project, man.
It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I can take a break now because I made $7 an hour on this instead of my usual $5 an hour.
Well, you should. You should be charging $1 a dimple.
$1 a dimple. All right. I went about five cents a dimple.
That's the going rate.
Is what I figured it.
Man, that's crazy. Well, and you've been busy. You've been, I want to say too, that that was a backdrop you had that on, right?
I did. I just recently got that from B&H
nice.
Photography.
Talking to
Leslie Webb.
Yeah.
And I installed that on one wall in my garage. And looks it's like good. A 9-foot wide white paper on a roller.
Yeah.
And you just pull it down. It's, I think, 36 feet long. So you can, as it gets jacked up, you can just trim it. Yeah. So nice. Now I just need some lights and... yeah, I'm excited about that.
Or you just could give it to Leslie Webb and let her take photos for you.
If she was closer, I guarantee you she would be doing my photos.
Oh, yeah, right? I'm like, from now on, Leslie Webb. It's kind of like, selling crack cocaine or something because she's like, helping me out. And then I'm going to get, dependent on her. And then her rates are going to be outrageous. I'm just going to pay.
Right.
It's really awesome. Like, the fact that she does that with a bunch of us, it's so cool. Because furniture makers we don't take pictures. We don't take nice pictures. And we can't really afford super high-end photography.
Adrian Ferrazzuti talked about that a little bit.
Furniture maker I know struggles with that. So, and it's so important starting out, get really good photographs.
You should always
even
get.
For me, looking back that desk, I didn't get good photographs. I got some nice kind of cool photographs, but not like professional backdrop, nicely lit photographs off that desk.
Well, that's what's so always so hard. Is
yeah,
you're always you're up against the gun, to get the thing, you're behind and you're trying to, I don't know how many different things I've delivered or what have you, and they just stink from finish,
right.
It's like off gassing. You're like, oh geez, you spray, yeah,
and you sprayed it. Photographs of it in the back of your truck.
It's tough to get
a tough thing to do.
Tough to get good shots of everything.
If you can. Try. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely gonna get better at it. But like I said, to have Leslie being like, I mean, she'll even see me work like the rifle cases, she'd be like, don't let them go without us getting photographs. I'm like, okay, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, even those the small gun boxes, everything.
Right, all that stuff. Yeah, but man, you've been busy because you've got your marquetry class shipping out and stuff.
The marquetry class was awesome. It was kind of a bombardment of orders there for a while. Then it's tapered off a little bit. But I shipped two to Australia, one to New Zealand.
Nice.
I've shipped 20 of them, thus actually 22, and a couple of just the tutorial. And it was really awesome. I've had really positive feedback on the footage.
Cool.
And
I have one question on my one that I got. It's all in Spanish.
Oh, I didn't. My bad. I sent you the wrong one. Well, you live in Texas. I just.
I was going to say that's how it is, huh? Okay.
My Spanish is not as good as my Italian. So it might be an Italian.
It might be Italian. I don't know. It sounds the same. No, it just isn't.
È molto divertente.
That's
a lot of fun.
Man. Yeah, yeah, but I was impressed. I was super impressed. Really, really well done.
Yeah, I'm excited to start seeing maybe projects from some of the people that have ordered.
Cool.
Several guys actually DM'd me today, so they're halfway through the footage because I recommend watching the footage because it's quite a bit. It's about 4 hours.
Right.
In the past, I had ordered two different marquetry tutorials, and they lacked depth in conveying the techniques and the processes and overall fundamentals, you know, to obtain these skills. So I thought I'd fill that void and just make this comprehensive, complete, self-contained marketry kit with everything included. Well, except for tape and what'd you say yesterday? And a hammer.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to charge people for a roll of tape and a hammer. Everybody has that. Right. And so, you know, you can literally have everything you need to get going. So I'm really excited about them. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yep.
That's cool. You know,
that is jam packed full of remote.
Remoteness.
The remoteness.
That you said yesterday.
That was absolutely true about that jewelry cabinet. It was just like, man, that's like remote right there. You know, it's like that's remote. I really liked the linear, the lines, those linear lines where the dimples, you know, the dimples, that hard line from the dimples to the smooth panel.
Right.
That was funny because I thought I had it figured out how to do it. I put a piece of Formica to, you know, differentiate that transition. But when I started, I realized I was making these rows right alongside the Formica border. And I thought, well, that doesn't look right. I need to make this more random. So I was able to go past the line just a little bit, make some of the dimples shallower, some of them deeper, and just, you know, play with that. But I learned a lot. And cherry is wonderful for doing that. I thought it would burn, but I turned my speed down and turned my air pressure down, I should say, to about 80 pounds. I don't know what the speed is, but I did all those dimples with one bit. It never started to burn.
It's so cool, the things just the different things that you can do with textures. I know I follow a couple of people. There's I can't think of the gentleman's name now. I think it's
Caleb
Benoit. No, this he, I think he's out of France. Benoit. I'd have to look, but he does.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna.
I'm staying out of this.
This stuff it's a lot of texture work. There's a I think a company called Rotary Chisel that makes these bits that I picked up a set of those. That just something to play with, you know, texturing. You can add something to, you know, a relatively simple piece and give another another visual appeal, some shadow lines, some different things to break things up. And
yeah, I don't know if you guys follow him, but there's a guy by, I think it's Caleb Woodard. He does some amazing stuff. He takes like,
yeah, I know who you're talking about. I follow that.
Yeah. Guy. He does some really awesome texturing and dimpling, whatever you want to call it. He's probably conventional with a, you know, a gouge, but I am not that guy. Give me a power tool.
Yeah.
I've done it with a gouge, but you're constantly honing, which there's nothing wrong with that, but not when you have 44,000 dimples to do. So break out the air.
Is it Maddie? Oh crap. I think she's a college at the Redwoods, or I'm totally gonna screw this up. Hopefully she never listens to this. I think she's the James Cranoff school. She does illustrations too. Like, she did these really cool little booklets that it's like, this is how I do it, or type thing. But she does a lot of sculptural stuff, but a lot of texturing, like, and it's all chisel.
You don't remember her name or her handle?
Her handle, I think, is HINK Works. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Maddie Hinckley.
Yeah. She's good. She's like crazy good, but she does some really cool like texturing and what I love is with the gouge. Is what I loved him. Elongated, right?
Oh,
so
wow.
It's not just these little. It's so cool. She does some beautiful stuff.
Not these stupid little round dimples done with an air.
Not these stupid round dimples and PVC.
Oh, that's fantastic! Wow.
Yeah, she's good. Sorry, I kind of spaced out because when you guys were talking about textures, like, man, I freaking, what is her name? I'm so bad at names.
I just found.
But I've been following her for a while. She does great stuff.
Yeah, I love that visual interest that texture can.
Sure. Oh yeah.
That tactile.
Well, what I thought was really cool about what you did was like with that copper, the triangle. So that triangle just kind of arrays out from the middle, right? But then behind that triangle, which is a little more subtle, there is no texture.
Right. No texture. Right.
And there's just like a little. So how easy would it be just to texture all of it? But that little bit is like, wow, you really thought about it. And I think it's so cool.
I gave it a little 5/16, actually 11/32 border around the handles with where there's not any texture. And actually that happened for a couple of reasons. A, I thought it would define the handles a little bit better.
Yeah.
And also I needed a flat spot for the standoffs on the handles, or else I would have really had a hard time, you know, making those, you know, be one plane.
Like sinking it.
But yeah, end up, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. But that's copper cool. is interesting. Also, I had not really worked with copper much, but
gummy or whatever.
Jack had a really interesting perspective on it. He said it's a sticky metal, and now I know what he means. It, yeah. I broke a tap in it, you know, and I've never broke a tap, not even in metal. I'm pretty careful, you know, go half turn and back out. Everybody knows that routine, but in that copper, that tap just wanted to stick even with cutting fluid. It was crazy. And then I ended up breaking a tap. So it's kind of an interesting, non-ferrous metal. You would think it would be soft and act like brass or aluminum, but it is quite unique.
I like the look of it.
Yeah. Copper.
I like
is
the
amazing.
Look of it. It's just a little more warm. Like I use a lot of like brass, but, I like the look of the copper. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Copper. Yeah, brass can be a little bit much at times.
Right, a little too much.
Too shine.
Yeah. Definitely, if you put any finish on it, it's like, oh.
I was a little worried with the cabinet because this client's house is very contemporary. And I thought, I don't know how that, you know, the texture's not exactly, you know, clean lines.
Well, but the design is pretty contemporary.
But the design overall came out, and then the handles kind of tied it back in to that look, I believe. So,
right.
Hey, she paid me and she loved
it. She likes it, right?
So that's awesome. What counts.
There you go.
So,
and hopefully she doesn't drop any jewelry down the vent.
I know somebody said something.
Who said that? I love it.
Well, there is a deflector there.
Right.
And somebody else mentioned something about the heat and the moisture, but I don't think it'll be an issue.
Softer ground. Yeah.
It could be, but we'll see. I think it'll be fine.
Issue with it. If it was trapped and couldn't find its way out, then yeah, but it's not going to be an issue. I had a client come from Colorado, and she visited about a project we can start next year sometime, and but she was talking about these nightstands, and she wanted it to go over to, I guess she was saying there's a vent there. And I was like, no, we're not going to be able to put the nightstand like right over the vent. Mm. And it's like, that's not an option. Like, cause these are like low profile. Like there wouldn't be enough room for it. You know, it just freaked me out. But, anyhow,
put a hole in it and grill out the front of your cabinet.
That's right. Put it in the toe kick. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
You can use like a white one or maybe almond.
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm gonna make it with my Pento router.
Oh man, I've been seeing that thing. I am so jelly. That thing looks awesome.
It's pretty cool. I have yet to use it, but I've used it a little bit. I got it set up. They set it up for me. I'm looking forward to get into it and really understand it.
Well, you need to watch that marquetry video first, Phil.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you got a lot of homework, don't you? Somebody said
I do.
Somebody said something about the book on the Panther router. Pretty daunting, but once you get into it, it starts making sense.
Yeah. Well, it's because you have all these different guides and bushings, and you can do like a million different joints, like just mortise and tenon sizes by changing out these different guides, I guess.
Template guides, yeah.
Guide pins. The guides, but also like with one guide, if you change out the stylus, it has like different size stylus. Mm. You can change that ratio. Like I was like, oh my God. But they have a chart. It's, you know, it's all laid out pretty clear. So, and I'm probably never going to get that
specific. Like I can work with pretty much the basic array of templates and not have a problem.
And that
but
takes
the thing they do is they don't want to limit you. And yeah, that's kind of cool.
That takes a standard 3.5-inch router motor.
Three and a half is that size? Yeah, I guess the porter cable.
Yeah, I think that's so, three and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Which porter cable is going out of business? So.
Wait, no, what?
Porter cable. If you like porter cable, you better buy them now.
Are they gone?
You're kidding.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they're going to be gone.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
DeWalt, right? I mean, it's DeWalt. I believe same company, but I think they're going to push DeWalt and phase out
porter cable. I have two of their big plunge routers and one of their big three. Those things are workhorses. But we used them in that cabinet shop. Man. And those things got abused every day for years. The bearings will go out.
They slowly start getting crap, though. They you know, as a lab tech, we used to be able to get like the aluminum handles for the plunge depth from the big guys, and then you know the replacements are plastic, mm-hmm. and then they would break. And when I was doing lab tech work, so looking after the two wood shop labs at Austin Community College, I would have to order new parts, and you could buy just the plastic replacements. I was like, no big deal. I'll order like 100 of them. And then slowly it was like, no, you can't. You have to buy the entire front assembly for the biscuit joint. I'm like, I could spend $20 more and buy a new biscuit joint. How does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think it had to relate to this, the just phasing it out.
That sucks.
So it does suck, but that Penta router, they've been really dialing in and they've based it off that one particular router, and you know everything, like even a dust shroud, everything is based off of that router, and you know they're being told we're going to discontinue this router, and it's like it sucks. So they're figuring out you know their new strategy, and I'm sure there's still thousands of those routers they can get their hands on, but you know anyhow, so.
So yeah, speaking of Panda Route, they were at the Texas Festival, right?
Well, no, I don't think I went to that.
Oh,
the Texas Woodworker Festival?
Yeah. It was right in your backyard.
Texas Woodworker Festival put on by Austin School of Furniture was at the Splinter Group and Toolmarks. So those are two different co-op shops, I guess, or two different shops. It was really cool. It was a crap load of people came out, including this one very
dedicated,
lonely guy from South Dakota.
Ben comes in. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Did he get the awesome award for the furthest track?
He should have. Oh my goodness, it was pretty awesome. He walked through. It was awesome timing because I just left my little booth and I'm walking, you know, and he's just coming through the door, and like everything goes quiet. You can hear the birds singing, and we kind of run to each other. I told him, I said Ben, if I had met you in person before I started the podcast with you, I would not give you so much shit because you could destroy me with one hand. Like, same goes with Ramon.
Yeah, I was really bummed that I didn't make it down there. But it looked like a great turnout.
It's just not like us. Yeah. Next year. Next year's
man,
gonna
next
do
year for better. Sure. I would love to be a vendor. Whatever, you know what?
Heck yeah, man. Do some mock tree demos, have your mock tree kit, your domino donkey, whatever the heck. It'd be awesome for that kind. That's the kind of stuff, you know, you want to sell woodworking related stuff. It's mm-hmm. not for furniture.
Yeah.
But I had a piece, you know, just because I had it, and a lot of the exhibitors had a piece of that furniture too, even if they're demo and stuff. But I mean, it was over 700 people, I believe, that turned out. The weather kind of sucked because it's meant to be a little outdoors too. It would have been beautiful if we had good weather, but the weather, it was a lot of rain.
And this was the second annual, right?
This is the second year. So like first year we got 300 people.
So it's growing.
So in a year it's grown that much.
How was the weather last year?
Austin Waldo, I guess it was okay. It was pretty nice, but it was all indoors. Oh. This year we had food trucks. All the exhibitors were indoors, but there was food trucks and stuff outside too.
You have to have food trucks.
But this I won't show up. Oh yeah, and free beer, free beer from Skull Mechanic, a local brewery, I guess, in Austin. And Austin Waldo is the one that put this all together. Like, the guy's worked his butt off doing this. And then we had Texas Heritage there, Jason and his wife, yeah, which was awesome. Since we just interviewed them. We had Frank Straza. We had, I think, April Wilkson was there. Oh, I don't think she was there. April was there. Jeez, I mean, there's just so many people there, you know, like it was pretty overwhelming.
It was crazy. It was really cool. And Leslie Webb was
there. Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on Andy Rolls, Gary Weeks. Yeah, I'm blanking on names, for that sure. So I apologize. But it was really cool. It was. And we did demos. So this year we did more demos. You know, it's like, okay, we have a piece of furniture, but we're also going to demo stuff. So I kind of demoed a little bit, just messing around with my mortiser, my flat pack mortiser. Leslie and Aaron Fox, it was so cool. They had like bending techniques, you know, so steam bending and a vacuum bag.
That's
and
just, awesome.
They were kind of more like showing it and explaining.
I love that stuff.
You know, she had her beautiful, Leslie had a beautiful rocking chair there. And so it's so cool to be able to see, like, okay, so this part here, you didn't cut out of like a solid piece of wood. This was bent. You know, it's like these are laminations. And yeah, it's really neat to have. And we had, the name of the tool company, the old Antiques Tools. I forget his name. I think he's out of Houston.
Are they out of Houston or are they out of Dallas?
Maybe Dallas.
Dowd?
Something Dowd like
tools
that.
Works,
but they had a bunch of
antique tools.
Yeah.
And
industry print shop was there, and he was, you know, they were making printing t-shirts on the spot. Penta Router was there, demoing the Penta Router.
Yeah, is that John Henry, right? Was doing that.
Yes, John. God,
he was
super.
He
cool
did
guy.
A great job. You know, he was.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's there repping Panzer Router, but he's a furniture maker, right?
He's a furniture maker. He's got a sweet. Yeah, so he has 2 days a week. He works for the Panzer Router, and the way it all came about was just so awesome. Like, it's just a very random thing, and it worked out to where he could have a little work that he can rely on,
sure,
you know, a couple of days a week, and then he does his thing, and he's very skilled. And
yeah, I really
super nice super, guy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking with him. You know, often it's, you know, it's a salesperson, it's a salesperson, you know. But he's not. He's a furniture
young woodworker.
He's a young furniture maker.
Making it happen.
Yeah, he's excited about it. And
he came out early.
That shows so well.
To set it up in the shop, you know, like he came out to my house to set it up. And
yeah.
And he was a delight, you know. And he came out very meticulous. Like, you know, I'm watching him set it up and stuff. And I'm like, man, this guy's, he would not accept. I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. He's like, no, I can get it closer. And it was so cool. And the first thing, you know, it's like, okay, his name's John Henry, so that's kind of a badass name, right? I mean, John Henry.
Yeah.
And so my wife said, she goes, don't say anything. You don't know him. I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be hard not to say something, you know, about that, you know, some reference, you know. Like, did you work for the steel train? Whatever. But, so he shows up. And the first thing I noticed on his arm, he had a tattoo of a metal, like a big old hammer. And so I was like, okay, it's on. So I said, hey, what's with that tattoo? He goes, oh, you know, John Henry. I went, okay. And I just let rip. It was awesome. He was so cool.
Yeah, nice. I thought he did a great job. And Frank Straza put on like a week's worth of instruction in like 4 hours. God, he just
He's like double bevel technique, molding planes, miter frame, like these little miter frames with inlay. He literally pulls out a 4x4 and he's taking shavings with this 4x4. I'm like, what the heck is that? It's like this old hand, you know, this jointed plane or whatever. It's just unreal. He put that hat on and it's like, boom. He was
such a back in awesome. History. And, he's so fluid with it. That he gets a bunch of people around him and he gets going on something and somebody asks him a question about something and he just rolls right into that and then he's doing that and then somebody asks another question and then he rolls into that and it just
yeah
you could just pull up
an unreal
pull up a chair and watch Frank
afternoon. Man, I wish I got to see him more. He brought his bench, his beautiful bench, because if you ever want to get a bench made for yourself, you need to speak with Frank. Yeah. He does some beautiful benches. Incredible. So he brought his bench. He brought his big tool, like a rollout tool cart. He had almost his shop right there, you know? And it's just so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank's an amazing guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super nice, too. He's just humble as anything.
He doesn't even know he's skilled.
Yeah.
You know, he's like one of these guys that, I'm not that good. I'm like, you kidding me? Like, that would have taken me 5 months to do what you just did in that show.
He just does it. He does it while answering questions and hardly looking at it, you know. Just, just wonderful to watch.
It's really cool. And we also had the, what was it called? MWA, the Mud and Woodworkers Association. So those guys came out and did an actual live podcast, I guess.
Number of them. That was what it's.
Yeah,
Diami and several. And Kyle. Those guys, Diami Plotkey, I think, and Kyle Barton, I think, is Kyle's last name. They did. They were
several interviews and. Cool.
They were nice enough to interview us. You know, you and I, and then I think it's Brennan. I think he was a student from the College of the Redwoods. He was on with us, and it was cool to see him there. You know, I don't know him.
And he just stumbled upon it. I think.
Yeah, he was down for a wedding or something along those lines. That's cool. Yeah, and he's a student at the College of the Redwoods. You know, so he's just like. No, he's just in the beginnings of you know wanting to be a you know poor for the rest of his life. So it was.
I was like, "What did he just say? A poor for the rest of his life?"
Can you edit that?
Right. No, it's cool.
I think it's just you, buddy. I'm freaking loaded. Yeah. I got so much money over her. Ridiculous. I even donated about $5 million to the cathedral.
To the cathedral, to the Notre Dame. Notre Dame Cathedral.
Forget the starving. I'll just. I'm just teasing.
God, that was so.
That was unreal.
Tragedy seeing that thing burning. Goodness. Just like, oh my gosh, I can't.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. You think.
But a lot of craftsmen would be.
That's the silver lining, I suppose, is that there's going to be
one got killed, right? Yeah. Is that right?
No one died.
Thank goodness.
But yeah, you think of how many thousands and thousands of hours
and years and years and years and years of work. Yep.
Went into that and it's gone. But silver lining of that is it's going to employ, you know, tons of preservation carpentry folks.
People.
You know, people that are craftspeople, you know, men and women that are just gonna go in there and it's gonna be the project of a lifetime.
Yeah, for there's something good and everything.
Yeah, it's just a shame to see that. You know that the forest, the rafter system,
all the amount of trees and
pretty crazy. It was. I don't know what did they say. What caused it? Was it some like
they were doing work on it and they think that it came from that. I see a fire like that and I always I just always think of spontaneous combustion of boiled linseed.
I think oil. Yeah. I think cigarettes.
You think cigarettes? Yeah.
Yeah. French people, they like smoking.
Yeah. There's been so many things over the years that have been lost to boiled linseed oil rags.
Or just stained
rag, and even like a spark, just someone grinding something. Like I used to work in London. That's what the kind of work I used to do was preservation work, and I was a foreman for a few years. And man, the amount of stuff you kind of catch, it's like, whoa, what the heck? That was about to go up, and it would be people grinding away at something and these sparks are flying and they're not paying attention. And cigarettes were actually a big thing too, because people walking by on the street would just throw the cigarettes into the building, you know. It's like, what the heck? But it was insane. Yeah. Like scary. And there's so much, yeah,
I just
so much of that history. I think of
Jack London had built a home, I believe in California. It was this arts and crafts bungalow masterpiece that it was completely finished, and they were just, you know, they're ready to move in, and they were just finishing the woodwork in there, and the rags spontaneously combusted, and it burned that whole thing, this giant it would have been such a landmark but it all burned to the ground in one night, you know, just all of that
just
work,
all the rags being bundled up and thrown in the trash can.
Yeah.
Scary, man.
Yeah, because it doesn't.
We had that at the community college, you know. We don't actually allow finishing because we don't have really the setup, but once in a while you have an instructor's like, well, you know, just set up outside and you can rub some oil on your stuff. And it's like, you know, you tell them if you're going to do that, just hang those freaking rags out and just let them dry before you dispose of them. And I came in one morning emptying the trash, and the fire started in there. Luckily, it didn't go anywhere else, but it's a metal trash can.
It burned itself out.
It burned itself out. I was like, holy cow. Yeah.
That's the thing. It burns at night. You know, everybody leaves.
It takes a while for it.
Everybody leaves, and that thing smolders, and then it gets going, and then maybe the wind picks up. You know, if it's something outside, or it just gets going, and in the middle of the night, the thing bursts into flames, and nobody's there because
that's why I only use conversion varnish.
That's why.
Another good reason.
That's why I use water-based
conversion varnish.
Yeah, because that high flash naphtha and xylene, those things, they're not flammable at all.
I'm like, well, you got to put a freaking match to it. You know, I mean, come on, they're not just going to explode.
I've seen oil-based stain rags also smoldering to the point of, you know, starting a fire.
Oh yeah,
we caught it in time. Yeah. But yeah, it's very real.
I've seen epoxy. Yeah. I've seen epoxy in a cup burst into flames.
That happened pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, even I think crazy. Unibun 800 will do that, right? It gets pretty warm, I believe.
I don't know. I haven't ever had that.
If you leave a lot of it in a cup, as it hardens, it gets pretty warm. I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
But yeah, and you got to be careful of all that stuff.
I know the epoxy can you get too much epoxy of can you get crazy you hot. Get too much of that going, and you'll learn real quick that you don't mix that much up, or leave it in a pot, you know, in a stacked
I
up.
I don't use epoxy, man.
Yeah.
I don't use oil. I don't use epoxy.
Don't use epoxy.
And I don't use PVC. But so with that epoxy, like, actually, I'm kind of curious. I guess that's the whole deal with, like, this. I don't really want to go into the weeds on this, but the epoxy that you see a lot of people pouring a lot of it, is that it doesn't flash off? Like, it takes a really long time for it to set?
I think that's got to be it. You know, it's
different kind of a formula, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah, right. Because I know, like, I have tried to fill something that was a little too big, and it did not fill well.
Yeah, those are like self leveling. They have to be designed for.
Right,
for those that type
purpose,
of
like,
yeah.
massive,
it's like yeah. the epoxy that you used to use to like pour over the top of tables that had like pictures or
yeah
baseball
yeah. Ball top epoxy
yeah
or whatever
yeah
or
have coins
epoxy
or whatever.
We've just lost so many
epoxy
followers.
And gravel yeah the aquarium gravel
epoxy.
Yep.
we said we would never talk about epoxy.
I have epoxy and gravel on my on the entrance going out.
I wish
to
you would quit bringing that up.
It's beautiful.
Like, every time I hear it.
If you saw it, you'd be like, oh my gosh, Ramon, that is so gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, Ramon. If you would invite me up, you know. Oh, we had Matt Kenny here too.
Oh God,
we almost forgot about Matt Kenny. How can you forget about Matt Kenny?
You guys better think of everybody that was there. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, geez, there was so many people. Anyhow, So Woodworkers Festival.
So can I
watch out next year?
Can I come next year?
Heck
and be
yeah.
a next.
You better come.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to plan a trip
yeah,
around
absolutely.
It.
Make some money. Make some, you know, hopefully you could sell some stuff. I didn't sell squat, but.
Yeah, I don't even care about that. I just want to go be an exhibitor.
It's a lot of fun.
And
it really is.
And show.
I enjoyed it. Next year, yeah. So Sawdust Woman, Amanda.
Who was there?
Who was there?
Also there.
And she was at my house working today, chiseling corners for the right gun boxes. But she just had an event, which went really well for her.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
It was a fair market, so it's an old women.
She made a ton of
old woman deal earrings.
Yeah, she
like
had
a
pretty good selection.
Bunch
that was
of
awesome.
Earrings. It was really cool. So that venue was a really cool venue, and I think we're going to try to use it next year for the event, hopefully. So anyhow, we'll see. But yeah, so. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw Carmen had a pair of the
yes.
earrings on. That was cool.
She looked pretty foxy. That's right. I was like, anyway, I better stop. All right.
that was probably one of the coolest things about you know, the myself going down to your guys' place down there was getting the chance to meet Carmen and meet your kids. See your, you know, it was really, you know, we always have, you know, Ramon, you know, your wife and my wife, you know, it takes a special person to put up with a woodworking.
Right.
As you can see, the house wasn't finished. Like, bathroom is not finished. The fireplace isn't finished. The siding on the house isn't finished. But I build people nice furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way it is. It is a lifestyle, right? I mean, I know that sounds a little cheesy, but I mean, I'm doing this because this was kind of the best direction for me. And I just happen to enjoy and not all the time, but it's what I'm passionate about. And
yeah,
I'm providing a living for my family, but it's, you know, it's what you make out of it. I value my kids a home with me all the time, and my wife could be home pretty much all the time, and I thought it was that I really enjoyed that I could have you back at a house and you could get to see our crazy family. And my wife really, like, it's funny, like, I know you made like a comment like, oh, I hope I didn't bore my wife. She loves hearing from other woodworkers. She really does, you know. And she's just a special kind of person to put up with us. But yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, my wife loves the other folks when she gets to meet them too. You know, it's
right.
kind of crazy because most of the time she hates woodworking, but
right,
when she's
right.
around, she hates it when
it comes to paying the bills.
Well, she hates it when I talk about it, but when other people talk
right.
about it, she really enjoys it.
Yeah,
because all you talk about are your freaking doors.
I know, my door.
Deanne really enjoyed your story yesterday, Phil, on the little spiel you did on the marketry class.
Oh, your
she,
wife?
She checked that out.
That's
was awesome.
That's cool.
And of course, she says something about your accent.
Yeah, did she kind of faint a little bit?
She got sit down. She got woozy.
Got woozy. I'm used to that by now. But well, you know, I had a lot of people kind of mention it, like, you know, that's a really good point, and it's like, I'm not a salesman. I'm not going to cut hair. You have some people kind of goofing around, so that's fine. Everyone knows we know each other, but it is like I work best in a setting. And then I work best, just leave me alone and let me do my thing. But to get kind of going, I just need that. And so I was really excited when you said you were going to do this class. And I've been trying. I've got Frank Straza I can go take some classes from. And we've actually talked several times. I'm like, hey, when you do this work for me, can I come and just watch you? But I could never make it happen because, you know, he's doing his thing and then I'm busy doing my thing and I can't just leave. And, you know, it's tough. So this way, I'm excited just to go in at night and practice. And I'm determined to try to use a few. I'm not going to try to come some amazing Moxie artist at all.
Oh, my gosh. Your comment try was some hilarious new skill sets. Yesterday when you said, this might not have been your best business decision because now I no longer need your services.
I was like, dude. Dummy.
That was great. You'd
be like, oh, dude, it's all sold out, man.
Deanne and I got a kick out of that.
No. Yeah. I think I said, give me 20 years. you still got 20 years of work for me. But no, I think I am really, I'm excited to get into it. So pretty cool. And one day when kids grow up a little bit, I'll get a chance to go take a class and do some stuff, you know, maybe. So,
yeah. Hey, I would like to thank a few guys, a few people that have left some nice reviews on Apple Podcasts. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. We get reviews.
We do. We have an incredible 4.9 rating on Apple Podcast reviews. Yeah. Nice. Most of them are 5 stars. There's a few, a couple that, well, we won't even talk about those, but
we can mention the low ones. I mean, that goes
well,
back
the low
to,
ones are go, related like, to the audio.
Yeah. The well, audio that's in the past, but I mean, the main low one is due to Matt Kenny.
Oh.
with the F bombs.
The F bombs.
Yeah.
I thought that was me. I wasn't sure if I was dropping the F bombs. Because I do tend to I got a bit of a potty mouth.
Well, you're British. That's normal.
Yeah, and I'm not very educated, so
well,
I don't have a big vocabulary like some people.
But anyway, in general they're fantastic. I'm just gonna read a few. So,
oh, cool. Right.
This one's from MJD Town, and he says, just listen to the episode with Jack Forsberg, funniest podcast ever, and incredible informative about VFDs and three-phase power. Great podcast, a must for every woodworker. That was awesome. And then, nice.
I completely agree on that too. Jack,
oh, yeah,
Jack
was so informative. Fantastic. Yep. And entertaining. Yeah. This guy goes by Toad Holler, and he says, best podcast on the subject of woodworking I've found. I've tried out a few others, but the content wasn't that diverse. One of the best parts about the Woodworkers podcast is the hosts' different backgrounds. I love hearing their approaches on what they're working on. So far, all of the guests they've had on have also been great.
I agree. Another one, I agree with the guests.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Oh, man. And this one's from the White Wizard 06, and he says, or maybe she, I don't know, the White Wizard. These guys are easygoing and deliver a lot of great woodworking wisdom. I learn a lot and am definitely inspired and motivated to keep improving my skills as a craftsman. Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was. That's. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No one's giving me a bad review.
No, not Dodgy specifically, British, but I'll take a look.
We haven't written in yet.
Right.
No, I think
so. Yeah, I think it's, you know, don't make your judgment off of this one current episode. Listen to all of them and then give us 5 stars.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think
just be nice. Doesn't it make you feel good to give 5-star rating? All right, Ben, talk.
Sorry. I think it's great that people are nice enough to do that. And we've, you know, we wanted to make sure to make a point of you know, reading a few of those because we know that, you know, it takes some time for folks
to write
that out. It's not.
Yeah, we appreciate that
very much appreciate it, and it's cool to hear the feedback, you know, from folks that, you know, if they're enjoying the show, it's just always cool to hear that people are enjoying it. You know, first it's cool to hear that people are actually listening to it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, dang, people listening to it. That's kind of makes me a little nervous. I need to dial it back a little bit, I guess.
I think it's dial it in a little bit.
We all need to do that.
Hey, that's really cool, you want to talk about our new news with Patreon?
Oh, jeez. I didn't think I was going to talk about it. We have a Patreon account. Well, so this is kind of comical. We did a Patreon account like a little while back with the idea that, hey, it would be great to get a little bit of money and try to get some swag and T-shirts and hats out there for our patrons and other people. But and just the time we put into doing this. I mean, we've been doing it for how long now? We haven't really asked for a dime. And you know, if you feel so inclined to give us 50 cents a month or $2 a month, or more, this is the place. It seems like everyone's doing it. So I set this up, couldn't figure out how to actually make it work. Got pretty frustrated with it, gave up. And then recently we got a Patreon cause it basically wasn't showing up. Like, so you go to patreon.com. And you type in Woodworkers Podcast.
Or Ramon.
Not Ramon. Or Philip Morley Furniture. And you could just give me your money. Forget these two clowns. No. But it wasn't showing up. And I was getting kind of frustrated. And so my wife is so wonderful that she is our only one patron at a $2 a month. That's not much. But it actually made it where our name showed up. So I don't understand it. I'm no good at tech stuff. But we do have a Patreon account. So if you want to go over, check it out, give it a read. It's probably going to take us a little bit of time. We do have tears because it's very formatted, like how they want you to do it. And I think it's like pine, poplar, solid oak. I like that. Solid oak. Maple. Cherry, walnut, ebony, right? It's never oak. It's always solid oak. I want a solid oak table.
Shall we start with PVC?
Oak. Okay. we can change it, and then ebony. So a lot of these, you'll read the description, what you get, a mental high five, and it goes on from there. But we don't have any T-shirts and stuff yet, so we need to get our crap together and get some T-shirts and be cool like everyone else. So, yeah, anyhow. So we have Patreon account. Patreon, Woodworkers Podcast. Give us your money.
That sounds terrible.
For the quality woodworking information that we put out, that we provide.
I have four kids.
We do provide that, right?
Well, I don't know about that. Anyhow, we'll still be doing it with or without it. So.
Yeah, if somebody wants to donate a little bit, you know, that'd be cool if somebody did. We didn't want to hit everybody up, like
especially at first.
We hadn't done the podcast yet. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. We didn't know if it was going
to. Yeah, I didn't want to start one and have it.
Yeah, you know, we figured let it go for a while and see how it goes. And you know, we really enjoyed doing it. And you know, it'd be nice to figure out a way to give it some longevity. You know, I think if we're able to get you know, a little bit of something off of it to help kind of offset a little bit of the time, I think it'll help us to allow the podcast to have some more longevity.
Because if you don't go to patreon.com, I'm going to quit.
And so we can purchase.
I don't know if that's an incentive
new earbuds.
Some new earbuds. And Ramon he doesn't have to wear tiny t-shirts, so we can actually get him some. we're going to wrap this up. I don't think we're going to get any Patreon.
We're on a steep slope going downhill fast.
This went about as smoothly as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I know. I told you. I was like, I don't think I was bringing up a monster.
I told you guys not to drink.
Fine. I wish.
I wish.
Anyhow, well, cool. This has been fun, guys. It's felt like it's been a long time since we've done a podcast. I don't know why it feels so long, but...
Yeah, we did Jason and Sarah. We did the episode with them a little early. We put that a
couple of days before the
we put the episode out the
Texas festival.
That's right.
Before the festival, and I think that so hopefully, you know, we'll be back on our regular schedule of every 2 weeks, and we'll have a guest coming up on the next one. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, Ramon, you wanna leave us out?
Yeah, you bet. So that was awesome, guys. We certainly thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Woodworkers Podcast. We always appreciate it. If you have any questions about this show or past shows or suggestions for topics for future shows, feel free to drop us a line. And that would be at info@woodworkerspodcast.com. And we will try to get back to we'll try to reply to that. Also, Ben, Chalkstone Woodworking, where can you be found?
Oh, on Instagram, Chalkstone
Woodworking. And Phil?
Instagram, Philip Morley Furniture, YouTube, Philip Morley Furniture, Patreon, Philip Morley Furniture. No, it's just Philip Morley Furniture.
Sure. Etsy.
Etsy, I actually think I have an Etsy account. I don't use it.
And mine is at Ramon Artful and Ramon Valdez FineFurniture.com. And so on behalf of Ben and Phil, I am Ramon, and we will catch you right here on the next episode of Woodworkers Podcast. Thanks a ton, guys.
Take it easy. Ciao. Thanks, guys.
Right on. Talk to you guys later. Bye.